Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Thank you for coming out today. It's time to start our worship. Grab a redback hymnal. Turn to page 181. Let's all stand for our first song, 181. Turn over to page 88 for our next hymn. Page 88. We'll sing all three verses of page 88.
Thank you. Brother Brad. Thank you very much for the good singing this morning. The song says, I'm going that way. I've been reminded of that from time to time, how that I know that I'm going to heaven one of these days, and I'm looking forward to it myself. I heard somebody make the testimony this past week as we visited one of the churches, and they said, I know that when I get there, I'm going to be there forever. That's a great thought. I know I'm going to be there. And I'm thankful this morning that each and every one of you are here today. But I want you, everyone, I don't know everybody's heart here today. But if you're here today and you've not been saved, I want you to go too. I do. I want you to know that you're going to heaven too one of these days. And we're thankful to see each and every one that's here this morning. I hope and pray that you've been blessed this week. It's been one of those kind of weeks for me. I hope it hadn't been for you. So I want you to have been blessed greatly this week, but I want you to be blessed today in this service. So let's be prayerful about that today as we go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. And I want us to be about God's business today in this service. If the Lord impresses you to testify for God, you do that. If God impresses you to do things for Him, talk to somebody, speak to them, invite them, thank you for coming, something on that order, do that. Now, as far as welcoming, it ought not be that we have to be impressed to do that, but sometimes it's for us to do it in a very special way. Not just say, glad you're here, but make it very much an invitation to them to make sure they're coming back. We are glad to have our visitors with us today. Thank you for being here. Just come in and worship the Lord with us today, and let's all serve the Lord today that we can be about God's business today in this service. I hope everybody has been praying without ceasing, especially since you got up this morning. Now, if you have kind of thought, well, maybe I wasn't today, it's a good time to start. If you haven't prayed already, it's a good time to start, is what I'll ask you to do. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We want to. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Appreciate everybody being here today, and we thank you for coming out for our service. I always call on one to pray. But we want everybody to pray in your own way. Whether it's out loud or quietly, you pray is what we want you to do. A lot of times I think, well, it's good to listen to people pray. And it is good. But it's to me, it's more rewarding if I do my talking to the Lord. It is. It's more rewarding for me to talk to the Lord. So I want to ask you today, pray. Pray for me. If you don't have anything else to pray for today, you pray for me. I need the Lord's help today, is what I want you to do. We'll call on one to start our prayer. Brother Stewart, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's turn over and do a song we haven't done in a while. 105, page 105. We'll sing all four verses. 105, the bottom of the page.
Thank you.
Sing the last.
The angels so sweetly are singing, the fair and beautiful sea. See, forth their whole hearts are ringing. Now hear the trumpet must be.
Amen. We'll do one more congregational song. Choir, won't you stand on this last one and help us sing out on the old song 1393, when we all get to heaven. Seems like the focus is on heaven today, folks. 393.
Thinking this morning as our revival is coming up soon, that this song ought to be our prayer every day, every day. Whether revival's coming or not, we need to be right with the Lord in the center of His will. The song's called Cleanse Me.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Song. Enjoyed the good playing today. Always appreciate Sister Janice so much for her playing, for the good singing and everything too. You can turn that down. It's off. Okay. Then you can turn me down then. Because I can hear me. And when I hear me, y'all in trouble when it comes to loudness.
Amen.
You always get amens at the wrong time, don't you? No, that's not true. We appreciate everything the sound crew does, and we always hope and pray that the Lord can be honored with everything that's done here. And just like Brother Sam doing the children's church, just like the singing service, it all ought to be done to give God honor and praise. If we're doing anything just to build ourselves up, we're in trouble. We'll be in trouble, and we're going to stay in trouble as long as we do that. So we ask that you be prayerful so much for this service today. I'm going to make two quick announcements. Due to Easter Sunday being last Sunday, we usually have our business meeting on second Sunday. We will be having business meeting after our church service today. We'll have a little break, and then we'll come back in as a church, and we will conduct our business is what we'll do. The other announcement that I want to bring out is Our revival is coming up on the third Sunday night in July, and we elected Brother James Keen, K-E-E-N, to help in our revival, to do the preaching for us. And different ones had said, can you get him in here to preach for us? That will be on May the 17th. It'll be a Wednesday night. And so we're going to invite everybody to come out on Wednesday night. Maybe it'll start a good habit for you to come out on other Wednesday nights also. But he will be preaching for us that Wednesday night. So if you want to get a sampling of what you're going to hear during our revival, Brother James will be here that night. So keep that in mind. Okay, let's get on with our service today. Anybody got anything on your heart, a word of testimony or anything? Asked you to be prayerful about this service. This sermon today, I'm always cautious. Don't get me wrong. I'm always cautious because I want to preach what God wants me to preach. And preachers, especially pastors, that every so often, will you preach on so-and-so? Would you preach about this? Would you preach to so-and-so? Would you tell them? I'm not going to do that today. Don't get me wrong. But I'm always cautious as to what that I'm about to preach on every service. And so this morning, a subject that's been brought up to me probably over the last year, you need to preach more about this. And so, and I'm going to make this announcement too, because this is basically, I think the way the Lord is lining this up, we're going to start our Bible study. We're starting a new study. If you want to know more about baptism and church membership, that's what Bible study is going to be about these coming weeks. And so that's where we're going. But the Lord laid this message on me while I was preparing this week for that Bible study. And I was like, okay, Lord, let's make sure. I don't want to be doing what you're not wanting to be done. So today what we're going to be talking about is baptism today. I'm not getting into the church membership so much, but I want to preach about baptism. And basically we're going to title this message, It Does Matter. That's going to be the title of this message. Baptism, and let me change that, Your Baptism Matters. That's what we're going to try to speak upon for a little while today. And I ask you to pray for us today. I want to preach this the way God wants it preached, not the way anybody else wants it preached. If you go into other denominations, they will say, you can make your choice as to the mode in which you're baptized. If you go somewhere else, some other place, they will say, well, we're just going to have wholesale baptism is what they're going to do. I visited a place not too long ago because of a funeral, and they had it set up for a wholesale baptism is what they did. And what I understood they was going to do. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. But let's look at what baptism actually is today. Not too long ago, I preached on scriptural baptism. And we talked about the proper candidate for baptism. What a proper candidate is for baptism is somebody who's already been saved. We talked about the proper mode of baptism. That is a complete immersion in water is what proper mode of baptism is. Then the proper authority, and the only one that has authority to baptize is not me. It's not any preacher that has the authority to baptize. This church here is the one that has the only authority here in this body to baptize anybody, and they extend that to whomever they want it to be. We believe in a proper administrator, and that is usually the pastor of the church is who that usually is. The church, however, can designate someone else to baptize, but it is our belief it should be an ordained preacher. Amen. That should do the baptizing. Now, That part gone. I wanted to remind you of that part today. But what about your baptism today? What is it? Why should it matter if that you are baptized into the Lord's church? And that's what we're going to be speaking about today. The first place that we are going today is to Matthew 28, the 28th chapter. Matthew, the 28th chapter today is where we're going to start. The first thing that your baptism, why it should matter in your life today, we should all have the mind of obedience in our hearts. We are to be obedient unto God. I realize today from what we see of our children and their schools and what people do and what we see on the news as far as the way people are behaving, when it comes to authority, people don't want to obey authority. They want to do as they want to do. But the idea today that I want to present to you, we have a sovereign God. We have an almighty God. We have a God that is so great and wonderful that we call him King. Amen. He is our King and he is King of all kings. And I'll just say it this way today. The President of the United States is a great man of authority, but when it comes to authority in measurable ways of putting it, he is like a speck of dust that is here on the floor, and God is way up into the sky, 30,000 feet or more above his authority. Amen. Not only our president, but any king, any other leader of the world has not the authority that God has. And what he has said, we ought to obey. God has given us this authority, given his commandments unto us. I'm not going to talk about all of his commandments, but I'm going to give you one today that does talk about baptism. 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, as we said, verse 18, and Jesus is doing the speaking. And by the way, Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, but he is God, is who he is. And Jesus said there in the 18th verse, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power means authority. He had all authority in that day and still does today. He has the authority to tell us what we need to do. He has the ability to command us what we should do. And what he said to those disciples in that day was, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That little thing got there. Excuse me there for just a moment. Now, you might say, but where in that is commanding me to baptize, be baptized? You might say that is telling the church itself that it is supposed to be baptizing. Yes, we are as a church to be baptizing those that have been made disciples of Christ, those that are saved. We are to be baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But if you look at what the scripture tells us in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and the 6th verse, if you want to grab that verse rather quickly, what John wrote here, he says, he that abideth in him, that him is speaking about Jesus Christ, speaking about God himself. He that abideth in him, he says, he that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now that he walked is talking about Jesus. What was the very first act that Jesus did in his ministry? He walked, I think it was about 90-something miles to get to the man that would precede him. And what the scripture said was preparing the material for Christ for a purpose. And that purpose was that he might be baptized. Yes, baptized. Jesus needed to be baptized. What the scripture tells us is that John, seeing this man, Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's what he said when he saw him. He recognized him as the Son of God. But what Jesus went on to do was, "I have need of baptism." He came for that purpose there in that day. And what, what John did in that day was this. He said, "Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee." Listen to what he did though. Jesus said, "It is meant for us to fulfill all righteousness." Listen to this. What did John tell us over here? We should walk as he walked. In other words, Jesus pointed out to them, it's for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, Jesus didn't need to be saved. I realize there's individuals that teach baptismal regeneration, but what he did was gave us an example to follow. Amen. We are to walk as Jesus walked. So we are to be obedient unto our King is what we are to do. We are, as when we are saved by the grace of God, as soon as we know that we are saved by the grace of God, we should turn around as soon as possible and get scriptural baptism. That's what you should do. Now, I'm going to give you my example. The very night that I got saved, I was sitting about right here. Thank you, Brother Key. I was sitting right about the middle of the altar here, and I got saved, and I started rejoicing in my salvation, and then I turned around to the pastor, Brother James Gray Bill, and what I said was, "Brother James, I want to join the church." Amen. Can't beat that speed-wise, can you? But what I'm trying to tell you was, it was impressed upon me quickly to be obedient unto the Lord and join the Lord's church and fall under to the hand of baptism. That's what we ought to do. Hey, one thing I haven't mentioned. Parents, grandparents, teach your children that. Teach them that. I think myself, we're failing at that. We are failing to teach our children to join the Lord's church and follow the Lord in baptism. It might not be your home church. Some people are going to disagree with this statement. It might not be the church of your mom and daddy, but as soon as you possibly can, get baptized into the Lord's church. As soon as possible. To be obedient unto the Lord. Now, I want to go a little bit farther with this. I got about 4 points that I want to bring out. That what you're going to do when that you are being baptized. What does baptism show? Oh yeah, we talk about death, burial, and resurrection, but let's back up a little bit. What's he going to do for you? We're talking about your baptism matters. What does it show as far as what you're doing? Now, you're going to find this scripture just a little bit odd on the start, And I'm going to be truthful about it. For a long time, I didn't understand these verses. You want to turn over to 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You want to get there and look at this for a minute. And what I'll say about it at this time, if you get there before I start reading, you're going to say, huh? Now, what he says here, moreover, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. What's he talking about? He's talking about Moses and the children of Israel and when they got to the Red Sea. You know the story how that when they got there, they was at the Red Sea. They had a mountain on one side. They had Pharaoh's army coming up this way. God put a pillar of fire between the children of Israel and Pharaoh's army. And then they cried out to Moses, Moses, what are we going to do? This is all paraphrasing here. Moses got out there at the instruction of God. And he put his staff out there. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they saw the Red Sea parted. That Red Sea parted is what it did. Now, I'm going to quickly get this. It wasn't ankle deep water. It wasn't. I know people want to say it was. I'll give you proof of that here in a few minutes, but back up here just a second. It parted, and when they went through the Red Sea, they went through dry shod is what they did. Man, they didn't even get their toes wet. They didn't get any mud on their feet. I think they stirred up the dust. But it said when they went down into the sea, they had water on this side, water on this side, and that pillar of fire turned into a cloud, and it passed over them as they were going through the Red Sea. You go over let me look right here, Exodus 13, you'll find this. And they got in there, and that cloud covered them. They had water this side and water that side. And what it says in the next verse, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did they have baptisms back then? Well, they didn't have a ceremony like we did. They had cleansing rituals is what they had. But the fact of the matter here, they were covered by the water on each side and a cloud on top, and it was what they called immersed. They were immersed. What is immersion? It is a dipping. If you go back to the Greek word that they used in the original Greek, it was baptizo. And if you ask somebody that knows Greek language, it means to dip or immerse is what it means. Now, to get to the point of what we're talking about, what does baptism do for you? I want to point something out here in this second verse, and that we're all baptized unto Moses. That word unto is important. Amen. It's important to you today. What did he mean unto Moses? Did Moses have any authority? Only what God gave him. But what he did in that day, those people trusted in Moses to get them out of that situation. Amen. Now, they'd already been delivered from Egypt, but now they were in trouble. And when he got down to this place, those people looked at Moses and said, Moses, we've got to have something here. We're going to die here in this place. And what they did when they cried out, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It wasn't about their soul, but it was about them committing unto God and to Moses. Committing? Hey, you got 20 foot of water on this side, 20 foot of water on that side, and I don't know how far they had to go, but it was enough that a million people, and that's what they generally say was there, was down into that Red Sea, covered by the waters on each side and the cloud on top of it. And they had to look at that. You ever wondered if a fish looked out at them? Maybe an alligator, a crocodile moved up there and kind of peeked at them. You ever wondered about that? Would it have took a commitment from you to do that? You see, when you are baptized here, you're not baptized unto this church, but you're baptized unto Christ. You are putting on Christ at that time. You're putting your commitment of life unto God. These days, most people have in their mind, well, I've just got to go up there and get baptized. That's all it is. Actually, you're joining the Lord's church. And when you're joining the Lord's church, you are committing your life to the Word of God. Hey, that's a big step, isn't it? Preacher, you're going to keep them from joining. It better not. You're not obeying God. But you need to commit yourself and your life to the work of God is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be saying, Lord, I'm living my life for you. Lord, I'm going to try my best to serve you. Now, I want you to understand that unto Moses, unto Christ is what you're doing. Now, these days, I want you to get something. I need to move along rather quickly. I'm going to give you one other verse right quickly, one other form of this. And we're going back to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. I quoted a little bit of this a minute ago. But it talks about how that we are baptized here in the sixth chapter of Romans. In the fourth verse, he said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, is what it says. Now, when it talks about our baptism, the first thing that the administrator will do is take the individual, they get into his hands, and they submit themselves to the administrator. I have seen individuals fight the one that's doing the baptizing. We had a lady years ago that I witnessed being baptized, and she locked her legs behind him when he started to lay her back. I seen another one on another occasion. She slapped at the pastor. I mean, she's doing like this. She fought him with, they never did get that woman down. She was scared to death of it. She never submitted to the baptism of the Lord's church. We are to be submissive unto God. We are to show the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did any of you get saved? By faith, yes. But how did it come about? By the fact that Jesus died on the cross, was buried in that grave, and on that third day he arose. We show forth his death, burial, and resurrection. Whenever we take somebody up here into this pool, that little glass area right there allows you to see a picture of that person and of Jesus himself being laid into the grave after his death and then being resurrected. It shows Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It also shows your faith in God that you've died unto sin, you've buried it, and you've been resurrected to a new life. Amen. Does your baptism matter? You better believe it does. You've made a commitment. You're showing your love for God when you follow the Lord. Yeah, it's command, but it takes true love to really do what God wants you to do. True love. Some of you young ones will not understand this just yet, maybe some of the teenagers have looked at a young lady or a young man, and you were just so infatuated with them, you thought you loved them for the every bit that they was. But it takes a different kind of love. Brother Brad, am I wrong on this? When that woman walks down that aisle, and I don't care who you are, man, there's a moment when you're standing up there, yeah, she's beautiful, you're loving her, but there's a part of you somewhere along that line that says, what am I doing? Am I right? I'm sorry, you got suspect. But when you commit unto the Lord and you show your love for Him, He's going to bless you, is what He's going to do. He will bless you for that. Now, I've got one more point, and I'm going to hit this as quickly as I possibly can. Let's go to Acts of the Apostles, Galatians, the book of Galatians, in the third chapter. You go to Galatians, the third chapter, and this is another one of those verses that, truthfully, for a long time, I looked at it and I didn't really understand it. And then finally, hey, this is good. If you look at verse 26, and this is not the one I'm talking about, it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Like I said a while ago, how'd you get saved? By faith. It made you a child of God when you got saved, didn't it? That's why we believe in believer's baptism. Nobody should be baptized, and it's not scriptural until the candidate themselves is a true believer in God. I've heard of men that got baptized when they were kids, got saved later years, and had to go back again. Men and women both. And if you need to do that, if you need to go back, you need to go back. Let me tell you that. You won't have scriptural baptism and you won't be a true member of the church unless that you have believer's baptism, you being the believer. He says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, remember unto a while ago, get this word, into Christ. Amen. Have put on Christ. Two words there that I'm going to really get to. And I talked about into. When you go into the pool, you're not just being baptized into water. Yeah, it's water. You're going to get wet. You're going to It's water, yes. You get wet. You're committing yourself unto the work of the Lord's church. You're committing yourself unto Christ. Jesus said, I am the head of the church. You're being put into that body, the church. Now I want you to get that next phrase. He said, you put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? I'm going to take this a little different route to start with. When you got ready to come to church this morning, did you, we'll say, take a shower, bath, whatever? I hope you didn't have your clothes on when you did. But after you got out of the bathroom and you went into your room and you picked out clothes to cover your body, you put on those clothes. Rowan and Noah both are football players, right, Noah? Do y'all have a particular uniform that y'all wear? What would happen if you put on a different color than the other team, than your team? wouldn't be the right uniform, would it? If you went and basically, if you went over into the competition's locker room and you got one of their uniforms and you put it on and you went out on the field, have you ever got hit real good and hard by somebody on a football field, man? Yes. I can remember getting hit right here in the chest by a guy one day. His head was planted right there, and it took me all of 3 minutes to get my first breath back because I was the competition. When you are joining in this baptism, you put on Christ. Just like you go into a football game, a basketball game, a cheerleading, whatever, you're part of the team and you put on that uniform, and when you go into the waters to be baptized, this should be precious to you. You're putting on Christ's uniform. You're not only just wet, we'll say, but you have just entered in to the greatest organization there is in this world. And that's the Lord's church. Amen. It's the Lord's church. And you've got his uniform. You ever watch these Marines, these soldiers, not just Marines, I shouldn't say that. Brother David was Navy. Being in the dress blues in the Navy and the dress whites, you ever look at them? Boy, you look at them and boy, they're sharp as tacks. The Marines in their dress blues, the military, Army men, they get in their dress uniforms, the Air Force in their dress blues. It is a beautiful thing to see them as they march. Maybe not into battle, but I want you to know something. The Lord's army is the most beautiful uniform there is. Whew, I'm thankful that I have that uniform today. I'm thankful that I put on Christ. You need to put on Christ today. If you haven't gotten scriptural baptism, you need to get it. It's something to be desired. And I don't want you to just get any uniform, but I want you to get God's uniform. That's what I want you to get today. Well, that's going to be our message today. Your baptism does matter. Don't let anybody shortchange it in any way. It's not just about going up there and getting wet and, well, I've got my name on the books. You're part of Christ's church. You're part of his body. Brother Brad, get us an invitation for church membership. Now, I don't know your hearts today. I told you what the scripture said. It commands you, if you've been saved by the grace of God, to join the Lord's church and be baptized. That's what the Bible's telling you. I tried to show you that today. If you're here today and you do not have scriptural baptism, this place is a good place to get it. Probably as early as next Sunday, we'll have the pool filled up, warmed up, and ready for you to join the Lord's church in full order of baptism. If you're here today and you've been saved by the grace of God, like I said, we believe in a believer's baptism. You've got to be saved first. And then you're presenting yourself to the church for your membership and for your baptism. To prove your belief in the Lord, we'll ask you to tell about where you got saved. I want you to understand that today. We asked everybody to tell about when you got saved. That's a beautiful word to me. When that you tell them, tell us about your salvation, the church will act appropriately. If you're a member of a church of like faith and order, that meaning an old-fashioned missionary Baptist church that preaches and practices like this one, we'll ask you to come forward. And if you want to join this church and you want to present yourself for a membership at this church, you come forward. And what we asked you to do is tell your testimony and we'll send for a letter if you don't have it with you. Now, if there's somebody here today that may have been excluded from this body at one time because of wrongful acts, we will do that if it comes necessary. If you don't live godly, it may come back to bite you. But if you're coming back to apologize to the church and to God, we would ask you to do that today. We'll hear what you have to say, and then the church will act appropriately. While we stand and sing, we're going to give you an invitation to come forward at this time to join this body, to do what God would have you to do today. So while we stand and sing, just come down here beside me. At the end of the song, we'll ask you to tell your testimony, and the church will act appropriately upon you. Brother Brad.